Can't blaspheme the state. Well, we'll be in Matthew chapter number 5. We sure appreciate you being here tonight. Got the first warning on the dash of our car. It gave us a little weather report. I didn't even know it did that. It said, I don't know where you read the temperature. It said something to the effect, be careful, possible ice. Already? Well, maybe. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For you love them which love you. What reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven perfect. Our Father, we pray that you'd bless us tonight. Lord, we come before you humbly asking you to give us understanding of the Scripture, that it might enrich us and make us more mature as the Scripture directs us to be more perfect, more full, more complete. I pray that you'd bless us that way tonight. Lord, may the Spirit of God show us truths that will not only help us personally, but will help our church and our faith and our service to you in reaching the community and the world. Thank you for being our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on going the extra mile tonight. Now, these verses that we've read, being part of the Sermon on the Mount, I understand, dispensationally speaking, that these precisely belong to the kingdom age, that thousand-year reign of Christ that will be yet future after the rapture of the church and the 7 years of tribulation. Then the kingdom sets in, and there's going to be a set of guidelines, instructions, laws, principles that will be in place for kingdom living. But I'd remind you that if we, his children of this church age, will be part of that kingdom, then certainly what he's prescribing for us in the future reign of the 1,000 years, if that is the goal he's shooting for now, he would certainly want us to have those principles in effect in our life today. And so when he talks about being more perfect, he's not talking about being sinlessly flawless. What he's talking about is perfect. When you offer somebody something, a solution to their problem or an answer to their question, and they say, ah, perfect. Well, they don't mean perfect sinlessness. They mean complete, or that's exactly what I need, or that's just what I want. And so that's what God expects out of us. He knows that living in this flesh, we're not going to be sinlessly perfect in this life, in this body of flesh, until we receive a resurrected body. But what he's saying is when he expects us to be perfect, he wants us to be moving towards completion, maturity, having everything operational in our lives that would be pleasing to Him. There is a principle in the Sermon on the Mount that will give you joy unspeakable, and it will give you a smile on your face, and it will put a spring in your step, and it will put a victory in your life. It will be a draw for our church, and it will be enriching to you personally. That principle is the extra mile principle. He says, if you're compelled to go 1 mile with that Roman soldier, if that's what is prescribed by law, then instead of going one, go two. Second mile Christianity, extra mile Christianity. And so we'll use those two terms interchangeably during this message, second mile and extra mile, doing that which is above and beyond our duty. And we have read these verses that some of them seem a little strange to us, like turning the other cheek. I mean, our nature says, I'm not turning the cheek. Somebody hits me, I'm pounding them back right in the nose. And that's our nature. And that's not exactly what he's talking about. And we'll look at it a little closer in just a minute. But the key to living with a smile on your face, the key to having victory and fulfillment and joy in your life is living the Christ-centered life. And living a Christ-centered life requires first an emptying of self. Because if we're full of self, God can't fill us with Himself if we're full of ourself. We must be emptied first. And so that is an underlying principle we're going to see in this passage tonight as we talk about it. And so selfless living would be what would be the thing that brings a smile on our face, the thing that would make us able to go the extra mile. It's been said that a man that's all wrapped up in himself is a mighty small package. I think that's true. The principle of the second mile, and somebody said the second mile is the mile that brings a smile. And that's what we're after tonight. Doing your duty and throwing in extra. The first thing, I'm going to show you three things tonight, and we'll do like the old chicken, the old hen that laid the egg on the center line. She's getting advice from the old rooster. She said, I've always had the dream of laying the egg on that center line in the highway. And she said, but there's a lot of traffic. I'm kind of anxious about it, but I feel like I've got to do it. She said, Mr. Rooster, what would you suggest? He said, I'd lay it on the line and get out of there. And so that's what we're going to do in the service tonight. We're going to lay it on the line and get out of here. Number one that we need to know is the extra mile is the mastery mile. The mastery mile. In verse 41, Jesus said, if anyone compelled you to go with him a mile, go with him twain or two. What's he talking about? Well, the Romans had a practice in those days that since Rome had conquered the Holy Land, Israel, when a Roman soldier came through carrying a backpack or a burden or whatever weight equipment he had, he could stop by wherever there was a Jewish man or a Jewish boy that was able-bodied. He could stop by and say, hey, you, carry my pack for a mile. And by law, he was compelled to do that. And so every Jewish farmer, it is said, that every Jewish farmer had marked off a mile right out there by his field or by his maybe his road or path coming into his house. He would mark off, he'd walk it off and stake off a mile exactly from his house. And so if he was compelled by a Roman soldier to carry his backpack for a mile, that Jewish boy would say, all right, I'll do it. And so he picked it on his back and he'd take off. And when he got to that mile marker, he threw it down and he said, I'm finished. And he wouldn't go one inch further. He'd turn and go back. That was the fulfillment of the law of the Romans. And so the Jewish boy wasn't planning on going any further than he had to. Because, I don't know, can you imagine what these people might have thought when Jesus was preaching that day? Jesus said, now if a Roman soldier comes by and says, now you carry my backpack. And Jesus said, well, if you carry his backpack a mile, just don't stop there. Go ahead and carry it another mile. And those Jewish guys probably looking at Jesus saying, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Surely you jest. Carry his backpack 2 miles? That beast? Well, what Jesus is saying, we need to do more than just what is required by law. We ought to go above and beyond. Well, in verse 20, he had said, "For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus was not impressed with just doing the duty, doing the meticulous details of the law. Jesus said you need to do more than that. Not to earn your salvation, but because you are saved, you ought to be willing to do more than what the law requires. And it will put a smile on your face. These Jews didn't like it. They had been conquered by the Romans. And now not only are they ruled by the Romans, they're humiliated by the Romans by having to carry their luggage or their equipment for a mile. And then Jesus says, carry them 2 miles. Well, that would seem kind of strange, wouldn't it? The Pharisees were meticulous, man. They believed in tithing. They would tithe. The Bible says they would pick little leaves off the anise plant and whatever they were tithing off of, a mint. They'd pick off the leaves and they'd count them out meticulously and they'd pay their tithe precisely, but not one leaf more. Man, they're doing it by the law and nothing else. Well, if we go above and beyond what's required, that's what puts a smile on our face. My wife and I started out our Christian walk tithing, and that was our duty. We stopped doing that. And we decided giving the tithe, 10% of our income, was not what we wanted to do anymore. And for years now, we've not been tithing. Are you confessing, preacher? Well, we felt like the Lord wanted us to do something besides tithe. And for years now, we've been giving another way. Instead of giving 10% of our income, when we figure up at the end of the year how much we were paid and how much we gave back to the Lord, it usually comes out around 20%. So we're not tithing. We decided that it would put more of a smile on our face to give above and beyond, go the extra mile and give more than just what the Lord required of the Jews in the Old Testament. Some say, well, tithing is not a command in the New Testament. It was in the Old Testament. And if they could do it out of their grief, I think it probably grieved them to have to tithe, but they did it because that's what they did, was the law. And if they did it by force, being compelled, we felt like it kind of put us in charge. We'll just give double. And then we won't have to worry about keeping the law. And if we give 20% instead of 10 somewhere, we don't figure that meticulously, but it'll figure out closer to 20 than it will 10. Now, that's just us. That's not a law for anybody else to fulfill or to be a rule for anyone else to live up to. But that's what we wanted, to go the extra mile. And by the way, God has taken care of us. All these years, we have not felt like we're ever going to starve to death. We might have bought a few clothes at Goodwill, but they look nice. And we've always dressed warmly in the wintertime. And we've always had shoes on our feet. We've always had a roof over our head, food to eat. And we've never gone without. And so God has taken, what I'm saying is God's taken care of us, giving 20% just as well as he did when we gave 10%. And so that kind of puts a smile on your face when you realize you've got a God who can take care of you. Any Jew, is what Jesus is saying, any Jew can go 1 mile. But if you've gone 1 mile, what have you done? Just your duty. He's saying, Jesus is saying, go double that. Go 2 miles. Verses 46 and 47 of this same chapter, he says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" You see, that's just the first mile, to love those that love us. It's funny, you know, and drivers in the country where I grew up in Izzard County,
we had all gravel roads back in the 50s and 60s just about, and everybody pretty well knew each other in the whole county, or at least in our communities. We'd have three or four different larger communities in our county, and pretty much everybody knew each other. And when we're driving on those gravel roads, you know, we're driving along, and you just kind of wave at everybody you met on the road. Now, people wave at you today, and you'll usually do it with maybe less than the two or three fingers that we did. But we waved at everybody, and everybody, even if they didn't know you, they'd wave back. I mean, I was such a habit of waving. I was driving along one day, and I was daydreaming, and Brother Connor, I'm daydreaming, driving along, and there's this dog, a big old German Shepherd-looking dog, and he's trotting down the road meeting me in the other lane. He's coming towards me, and I waved at the dog. His tail was sticking up. I mean, it looked like he was waving at me. So I'm thinking, you know, even dogs are friendly and they want to wave at you. Now, it's not that way anymore. People don't wave at you much. I wave at a few people over on Foster Chapel coming out of church, and most of them don't wave back. And once in a while, somebody will, but not many. And so I figured out how to cure that. I glued a coffee cup on top of my car. Now everybody waves at me. Jesus is saying just 1 mile is just doing the minimum. And it's no more than duty. But if you go the second mile, you're doing something different. Children of God are different. We're filled with another principle. We're filled with the extra mile principle. And life is really lived on three levels. First is the hellish level, and that's where if somebody does something to you that's kind of good, you return evil for them. That's pretty bad, isn't it? So I think you could call that the hellish level. Somebody is doing something good for you and you return evil for good. And then the second is a human level, and that's just giving back good for good or evil for evil, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. That's the human level. And then there's a third heavenly level, and that's to return good for evil. Somebody did evil to you, and you, instead of getting back at them, you give not only the same as they gave, you give above and beyond. They gave you evil. And listen to me, we live in a society and a culture today that doesn't understand this. But that's the level God meant for His children to live on. Somebody does evil to you, you're supposed to give them something back more than a grudge or getting even. I mean, this first mile was compelled for that Jewish boy to carry the Roman soldier's pack. It's entry level, the first mile. And when that Jewish boy is carrying that load for that soldier 1 mile, he's actually operating as a slave. And so when he goes the extra mile, he goes 2 miles instead of one, it puts him in control. The soldier says, "You got to carry it 1 mile." The Jewish boy says, "Nothing doing, I'm going two miles. Well, that would be kind of weird for that soldier, when he might be a little bit thinking, this boy's something wrong with him. Well, he's going to find out that there's something different about him. Now, notice the second thing. The extra mile is not only the mastery mile, but the second mile, the extra mile, is the charity mile. You do the first mile out of legalistic duty, and the second mile out of love, charity. And it's love that brings joy. We sing about it in Christmas time, about love and joy. I wonder why we don't do that all year. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes liked doing the legal thing, and they did that because they were self-righteous. They weren't operating out of love. Jesus didn't just preach out of generalities. He preached specifics. And he didn't just say that we ought to go the second. He didn't say that we ought to go the second mile. He gave us illustrations of how to go the second mile. And he gave it in his word, and we read it just a little while ago. Number one is go the second mile when your dignity is degraded. Go the second mile when your dignity is degraded. In verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now Jesus is not talking about pacifism. He's not saying letting people run over you. He's not talking about withholding any defense from you or your family. We're entitled to that. And if you try living without defending yourself in this day and time, you're probably going to be in bad trouble. But what he is talking about is when you've been degraded, had your dignity degraded. He's not talking about somebody trying to hurt you, harm you physically. Turning the other cheek has to do with when your dignity has been degraded, being able to go the second mile is turning the other cheek, is getting the second mile in motion, the extra mile, showing them good for evil. I mean, I had a snake one time. I had some chickens laying some eggs. Amalia, you got some chickens, right? Yeah, she's got some chickens and I lay eggs, right? And I had these hens, they were laying eggs, but suddenly I didn't have eggs anymore. I go out and check the nest every day and the hen's nest was empty. And I thought, that's weird. They wouldn't all stop laying exactly the same time. And I started watching. I'd go out real early in the day and I'd actually get a couple of eggs if I got there early. But if I went late in the day, there's no eggs. And I knew there were eggs in there earlier, but they're gone. Aha, you know what it was? Black snake. They love eggs. They swallow those things whole. And so I go out there one day to pick up some of those eggs early in the morning, and there was a rack right above the door where I go into the old chicken house. And there was a rack with gallon fruit jars up there. And I walked in through that door, and right above my face, I turned and looked. Something caught my eye, just out of the corner of my eye. I looked, and right there about that far away is a big old black snake coiled up inside one of those gallon fruit jars. Aha, there's the rascal that's been getting my eggs. Well, I took off back to the house to get my .22 rifle. I thought, if he stays in that jar, I'm going to have me a snake. And so I got back, and sure enough, he's still laying there. I poked that .22 rifle right up there at that jar, and the old snake was coiled round and round and round inside the jar. And I poked the .22 rifle up there and turned my head so I wouldn't get glass in my eyes. I pulled the trigger. Boom! And there's glass and snake guts going everywhere. I mean, I had me a black snake, and I got eggs from then on. Jesus is not saying that you can't defend yourself against the snakes. What Jesus is saying is when you've had your dignity hurt, you've been insulted, going face to face to try to get louder than somebody else or to get one more word in is not going the extra mile. Extra mile Christianity is being able to suffer a degraded dignity and go on. We're not to engage in a verbal wrestling match. And that's what Paul was saying in Romans 12:17. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible for as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Now see that? That's what Jesus was saying. It's kind of like turning the other cheek, giving something better than what you got. And if your enemy hates you, love him back. If he's hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, when you remember where we started with this, being emptied of self allows you to be filled with the Lord. And whatever you're full of is going to show when you get jostled down a little bit, when you get shook up a little bit by somebody else and get an insult, or your dignity's kind of hurt, your ego is kind of hurt. When you get shook up a little bit, what's going to fall out? Whatever you're full of. If you're full of self, then you're going to come out angry. If you're full of the Lord, you'll probably come out going the extra mile. Go the extra mile when your adversary is victorious. In verse number 40, he says, "And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, give him your cloak also." The cloak being the overcoat. If he gets in a lawsuit and he gets sued for his coat, if the one who loses his coat in the lawsuit and he's justly judged against, then Jesus said, if you've been caught doing wrong and you get in trouble, you go before the law, you get sued for your coat, if you've been justly accused and convicted, then don't just give him the coat, give him extra. Go the extra mile and give him your cloak. He's not talking about somebody robbing you. I mean, if somebody tries to pick your right pocket and you say, wait a minute, you missed it, Bill Folds in the other pocket. No, I don't think you do that. Somebody breaks in your house and you get up and say, hey, Mr. Robert, let me lead you to my safe. It's behind the picture over here on this wall. No, he's not talking about that. What he's talking about is being able to have that extra mile mentality, and when you are justly sued at law, don't just stop at giving what was required, but give more. Go the extra mile in a legal settlement. Isn't that what Zacchaeus did? Zacchaeus, when he was saved that day, and he told Jesus, he said, if I've wronged any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So he went above and beyond, more than the extra mile. Number three, go the second mile when you have a brother or sister who's in need. Go the extra mile. In verse 42, he says, give to him that asketh of thee, and him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Now we have to know how to give wisely. He's not talking about everybody stands on the street corner and holding up a sign, I need money. Not talking about giving to every one of them. In Psalm 112, verse 5, he says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. With discretion. That means you got to be a giver, but you need to be a wise giver. If somebody's down on their luck, somebody's had a tragedy, somebody's got a hospital stay, somebody really genuinely has a need, then he says we ought to meet that need. Now, that doesn't mean that we give to a dope addict that's wanting money for more dope. That's not giving with discretion. If somebody's an alcoholic and he's wanting to buy another bottle of booze, I'm not going to give him money for his bottle, and I'm not going to give the smoker money for a pack of cigarettes. I'll buy him something to eat if he's hungry, but I'm not going to help him with his addiction. And we've got to give, but give with discretion. Number four, go the second mile when you're used and abused. In verse 43, he says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what you do when you try to get even? You just come right down to the level where they are when you're trying to get even. You don't really feel better when you get revenge. You feel better when you go the extra mile instead of stooping down to their level. I read a story years ago about a young recruit in the Army. He'd been drafted and back in those days, and he went to serve his country, and boy, he was a Christian, and he was in the barracks with a bunch of other men, and it was his habit was to kneel by his bedside and pray every night. That's what he did at home. And so he's laying there in his bed, and it's time to go to sleep, and he's thinking, well, I haven't prayed yet, and I could just lay here and maybe pray silently, and they wouldn't know, because there's some pretty rough characters in there. But he said, but that's not my habit. My habit at home was to pray kneeling beside my bed. And he thought about it for a while, and finally he thought, well, I don't want to change. I'm going to be like Daniel, who prayed before his open windows towards Jerusalem every day. He said, I'm going to go ahead and pray like I always did. And so he knelt by his bed and he began to pray. Some respected it, but others mocked and scorned. One old rough soldier picked up his pair of boots and threw them at the young soldier who was praying and hit him right in the head with those boots. And so during the night, the soldier that had prayed and been hit with the boots shined the boots of the guy who threw them at him, shined his boots and took them and placed them where they were supposed to be at the foot of his bed. That is an example of going the extra mile when you have been wronged by somebody else. Instead of getting revenge, he could have went in his sleep and did something spiteful to the old soldier who had been mean to him, but rather he returned good for evil. I think that's what Jesus expects out of us. The third thing, we've talked about the mastery mile, the charity mile, now let's talk about the victory mile. When we go the extra mile, going the extra mile brings victory. It's the victory mile. We sing victory in Jesus. Well, let me show you and tell you how to live it, to live out that victory. The first mile, the boy is carrying the pack, he's a slave. The second mile, he's doing more than just being a slave. When he goes the extra mile, he's going the victory mile. Successful people, victorious people, have something in common. They're all second milers. They all go the extra mile. I'm talking about people in business, people in the corporate world, people on the job, people who are successful in business and work on the job. They're second milers. They go the extra mile. Somebody said that when you flush the toilet behind you, you're going the first mile. When you flush the toilet that was left unflushed by somebody else, you're going the second mile. When you plunge the toilet that won't flush, you have entered sainthood. If you only do what you're paid to do on the job, you're going the first mile. If you only do what is required by duty on the job, you're just going the first mile. And you're not going to go very far on that job, I suspect. I'll tell you about an entrepreneur that knew what going the extra mile meant. Henry Ford, the original Henry Ford. Henry Ford took over a factory in Detroit and it was losing money and nobody really seemed to care. And he had a maintenance crew to go out and cut down a log, and they trimmed the limbs off of the log and just left the roots on the end of the log. And he had the maintenance crew to carry it into their plant, put it in the elevator and take it up to a certain floor. And they got off the elevator and laid the log right in front of the elevator door. And they did all this at night. And the next morning when the workers on the sixth floor started to get off the elevator, the elevator doors open and there lays a log right in their way, right in front of the elevator door. They stepped over it and went on to their job and did their work. When they got off work, they went back to the elevator, stepped over the log into the elevator and went down. Next day they came back, got off the elevator and stepped over the log and went and did their job. And came back from their job that afternoon, stepped over the log, got in the elevator and went home. And they did this week for over a week. And nobody asked, why is there a log in front of our elevator? Nobody said, did somebody do this for a reason? Who did this? And why is it here? Nobody asked. They just stepped over the log and kept going to work. After about a week or 10 days, Henry Ford came up to the sixth floor and fired everybody who worked on the sixth floor. Somebody said, why did you fire them? He said, because nobody asked why a log was there. For all these days, nobody did anything. And if all anybody's going to do is just what they're getting paid to do and nothing more, then I don't need them and I'll replace every one of them. And he fired them all. You see, when you're going the extra mile, you earn the respect of those you work for. And when you go the extra mile, God will somehow propel you into higher positions than you were at the beginning. Everybody in life who is victorious is an extra miler. Students, don't just do the minimum requirement. Study harder, work harder, do more than is required. Get a better grade than what is just acceptable or average. Go the extra mile. In marriage, I hear people say, marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Well, it may be some of the time, and some of the time it's a 90-10 proposition. That's when somebody's going the extra mile. And a marriage that doesn't go beyond just the first mile is a marriage that may be doomed for failure. The second mile marriage is a right marriage, and that's the way it ought to be. Going the extra mile. When kids are trained by their parents and they have a certain amount of chores to do and a certain amount of requirements to complete in their home, they're a family member. And if you're going to have a success and a victory in life, kids need to learn to go above and beyond just what's required. And when they go and do more than what was expected, they'll probably be well on their way to victory. Same thing goes for our devotional life. I mean, we can read a verse mechanically, say a prayer mechanically, but if our heart is in it and we're going the extra mile, and we're trying to connect with God and trying to pour our heart out to God and gain His favor and to say, Lord, I'm here. Send me whatever you need done. I'm signing a blank check, Lord. I'm going the extra mile. That's a sign that you're on your way to victory in your devotional life. In your witnessing life, I mean, you can walk past dozens and hundreds of lost people every day and say, well, they're not doing anything to help me. Going the extra mile is when you care for their soul. And you care enough maybe to pull out a tract and give them when you have opportunity. Being able to sit down with them and take the time out of your busy day to tell somebody how to be saved. That's the extra mile. I mean, just imagine this Jewish farmer. He's out there in his field. The road runs along beside his stone fence. And the soldiers travel up and down that way quite often. The farmer's out there working in his field, maybe 50 or 100 feet away from the fence, and a Roman soldier comes by. That boy's out there hoeing and chopping, planting seed. And a Roman soldier comes by and says, hey, you, carry these packs for me a mile. Well, imagine that Roman or the Jewish boy picking up the pack of the Roman soldier and saying, all right, let's go. And he trudges along, gritting his teeth and muttering all the way, grumbling as he goes. And when he gets to the end of that mile where he had that stake beside the road, he throws the luggage down and says, there, I've done my job. And he turns and walks away. Now imagine another Jewish farmer. This boy's out there beside the stone fence and the Roman soldier comes by. He lays down his luggage and says, hey, you, come over here and carry my luggage for me. And that boy comes over and says, yes, sir, I'll be right there. And he grabs it up. And he starts walking along beside the soldier. And the soldier says, I need you to go a mile. And the boy says, well, I'd rather just carry it 2 miles if I could. And the soldier says, what? He says, yeah, I'd like to carry it 2 miles for you. And they walk along and the Jewish boy says, so you're from Rome. Tell me a little bit about Rome. Man, I've never been there. I've heard about it. But tell me, do you live in Rome? Do you have a wife? Got a family? Children? How long have you been in this land, in Israel now? What do you plan to do when you get back to Rome? And they chat all the way up down the road until they get down there 2 miles. They pass that 1 mile marker, and the boy's just making conversation with the Roman soldier. They get to the end of 2 miles. The boy says, "You know, there is a well and a spring right down the hill here, just a little bit further. Why don't we just go on down there? We'll get a drink of water maybe and sit and rest and talk a little more." And the soldier says, "Well, you know, I kind of enjoyed visiting with you along the way. Let's do that." And so they walk on down the hill and they sit down beside the spring and they cup their hands and get them a cool drink of water and they just sit there and talk for a little while. And the Roman soldier says, "You know, you're the first Jewish boy I've seen like this. You're different. How come?" And the boy says, "Well, I heard Jesus. I don't know if you heard of him or not, but I want to tell you about who I heard preach the other day. His name's Jesus. And he said we ought to go the extra mile. And that's why I carried your luggage a little bit further and why I've offered you a drink. Let me tell you more about Jesus." Now, which one of those two soldiers, I mean, which one of those two Jewish boys would that soldier listen to? Which one would have the better chance at witnessing and winning that Roman soldier to the Lord Jesus? You see, there's a benefit to going the extra mile, doing more than just what's required. Jesus went the second mile for us when he went to Calvary. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to go. He was already sinless, perfect, already had a home in heaven. He already had eternal life, but he went the extra mile for you and me. I wonder if we couldn't go the extra mile for him. Can we pray together? Our Father, we sure do love you tonight, and thank you for going the extra mile to that cross for us. Thank you that you go the extra mile for your children every day when you don't have to. It's just something extra you do for us. You wouldn't have to listen to our prayers, Lord, but you do. You wouldn't have to answer our prayers, but you love to. You like to do that. Lord, you don't have to give us power when we witness to others, but you do that. You go the extra mile for us continually. You don't have to show us your favor when we're in need, when we're sick, but you do that. Thank you, Lord, for being an extra mile Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd burden our hearts to be extra mile Christians tonight, doing more than just what's our duty, doing more than just what's required. Lord, when it comes to being a friend, we'd just be better friends than just what's normal. Lord, when it comes to giving, helping us to give more than just what seems to be called for. Lord, help us to go beyond the call of duty to witness to the lost. Lord, when it comes to church attendance, help us to go beyond just showing up on Sunday morning. When it comes to serving, Lord, help us to be extra mile Christians and go beyond just what maybe others do and what's expected. Help us to surprise people by going further than what we would have to. Thank you, Jesus, for going further for us. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need to pray,